Hello and welcome to the Everything Phil Collins podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I encourage you to subscribe if you enjoyed this week's episode. I also want to let you know that these podcasts are actually taken from our YouTube channel, and you can find out more about our YouTube videos by going to everythingphilcollins.com, where you'll get a link to watch all of our videos there, as well as some of the other cool stuff that we have on our website, everythingphilcollins.com. But I just wanted to let you know that this was originally a YouTube video, and so when I'm talking about certain visuals or if I'm holding something up to the camera, you might be missing out on that. So if you want to watch these episodes as videos, go to everythingphilcollins.com or just enjoy today's podcast episode. So I have this theory about this potential upcoming Peter Gabriel album, I.O., that all of these singles and the tour and all the various mixes are going to lead up to something really, really cool. But if it doesn't, then I don't know what this all has been for. Hello, I'm Scott, and welcome to a new episode of Everything Phil Collins? Wait, hold on a second. Why are we talking about Peter Gabriel? Well, I don't know. I think there's a lot of crossover. I think I'm kind of interested in this whole, I like deep diving a little bit. I like this mystery that's going on right now with this album. And there's really no, there's tons of content being released, but there's not really any official details as to what and when we will see an album, if there is an album. In fact, Peter's been kind of coy about it, alluding to the fact that it may not even be done yet. And these are maybe some songs from the album. I think he's kind of tricking us a little bit. We're going to dive into this. We're going to look at some of the evidence that we have right now, and then I'm going to kind of share with you my theory, what I think is going to happen. I know it's not entirely Phil Collins related, but I don't know if you knew this, but Peter and Phil used to be in a band together. You should check them out. They're really good. I'm not a huge Peter fan, but I am a big fan of, like, you know, the world around Genesis, and I'm a big fan of, like, the mystery and lead up to albums. I kind of like, I've always found myself on forums and discussing when an album might come out and if a band has finished an album. And this is obviously an album that's, what, 20 odd years in the making? So I'm not a huge Peter fan, but this record here is one of my prized possessions in my record collection, which is in, like, absolutely tattered condition. Of course, everybody loves Peter. And I hope to get to see him on this tour. I don't know if I have some friends who work in the industry, and so I might be able to get in for free when he comes to Canada. We'll see. I don't think I'll be able to pay the big ticket prices, though. Today, at the time of recording this, this is one day after Peter just started his new I.O. tour, something he's been talking about, I think, since around, like, Christmas or January. So I'm recording this in May of 2023. So we're going to talk about the evidence that we have today. This video might become irrelevant tomorrow. It might become irrelevant come this fall if we actually have a record. Or the mystery may go on for another 21 years. Like I said, Peter has been really coy about this, which is, I think, is kind of like him adding to the mystery and to the intrigue of this potential upcoming album. Because in some of the videos, I think he's said that he's working on an album, kind of alluding to the fact that the album isn't done yet. Personally, I think that's BS. We'll talk about that in a second. So when it comes to an album being done, like a proper studio album of original material, what do we know? What is the evidence that we 100% know to be true? We know what the album name is. It's been that way for over a decade, I believe, I.O. We also know that he's on tour, that there's an actual tour planned. Tickets have been sold. One show, as of right now, has been performed. We've seen the set list, and it's branded with this album name. That's really significant. If it was a greatest hits tour, then we could maybe speculate that an album isn't really coming. But the fact that it's given this colorful branding with the name I.O., that's really good evidence. We also know that this is a highly planned out campaign. We could question how planned out it was back around Christmas time when there was rumors of a new song and rumors of a tour. But now that we see that a tour is planned, North American, European dates already happening, being sold. And then the start of January, we have Panopticon, the first single. And then we have a remix of that single, an Dolby Atmos version of that single. And then that repeats in February and March and April. So we no longer think that this is just a potential Panopticon. Is there more? We know this is very strategic, very planned out, and they're meeting their deadlines. It's also not uncommon for artists to be coy about a release day. Even when artists know the record is 100% done, it's at mastering, it's been mastered, it's at a pressing plant, artists will still be kind of like, I'm still working on it. We might have something out. That's because they like that day when they release everything to the press. They show the album cover, they give the track listing. If they leak too much information, then it takes away from that big announcement. So even though Peter has kind of alluded to the fact he's still working on the record, I think That's just part of the campaign. The other piece of evidence is just how consistent and coherent this campaign has been so far. We have a single that releases, I believe it's the first of the month or the full moon. And then you have an accompanying video and email that goes out, and Peter records this video in the studio and talks about the song, talks about the meaning. Then you have the bright side mix or the dark side mix. Which one comes first? I don't know. You got these two mixes by two mix engineers. Then I think there's also the inside mix. Has that been happening for every song? I haven't been paying attention. Honestly, I haven't been paying attention to the songs. I listened to the first two and a half. I really like them, but I'm such an album guy. I know that a lot of you are album people as well. And so I'm kind of just like, this is cool. I like what you're doing, but I'm really going to tune in when the album comes. In fact, I'd love to get it on vinyl and listen to it for the first time in a great track listing on vinyl. I'm not going to judge a song as a standalone track. I love Panopticon. I love the, you know, the kind of the softer ballads is kind of cool. I listened briefly to the most recent one, the Different Kinds of Horses one or whatever. And I thought that was the best one so far. And I didn't actually just don't want to hear it because I want to hear it in the context of the album. But the consistency of this campaign is probably one of the biggest pieces of evidence. You have this similar kind of spine or Obi strip to all of the artwork that tie the pieces together with the IO logo. You have the fact that it's been released at the same time every month for 5 months now, all leading up to the tour. There's the rumors of the tour, then there's the announcement of the tour, and then the tour actually happens. So this type of consistency means that it's not just some artists dreaming up a couple of ideas. It means that there's a team behind this and they are sticking to a schedule. I think that's the biggest piece of evidence, is that there is coherence and consistency so far to this campaign. If this all leads up to nothing, my gosh, what a waste of time and money. That's why I think this is all going to lead up to something big. And what's that going to be? Here's my theory.
Conspiracy theories and sponge baths.
So let's talk about the timeline. This all began in January of 2023. Very cool. And we had a song come out in January, February, March, April, May. Are we going to have one come out in June, July, August, September? I'm not sure. Hopefully. Let's think about a couple things when it comes to the timeline. What time of year does a legacy artist like Peter Gabriel normally release a record? Christmas time, fourth quarter, right? Black Friday. This is when usually end of October, early November, maybe September, but usually October, November, December, somewhere in that fourth quarter is when big artists like Taylor Swift and U2 will release an album, because it's a great Christmas present. And if they release a big box set, which I think they will, or different variations, this is a great thing to get your dad for Christmas. I actually thought the Genesis BBC box set would have come out in the fourth quarter. I think they would have sold more copies if it came out in the fourth quarter as opposed to March. I think something happened. Maybe it was a pressing delay. Maybe it was a mastering delay, but I think that would have maybe originally intended to come out in the fall of 2022. Moving on. So the most realistic timeline for this album to come out would be fourth quarter. Let's just say November. Now, think of how many songs normally come on an album, usually between 10 and 12. So if we were to release all of the songs on an album, let's say there's 11 songs, then this could come out in November. It could come out in October with 10 songs. It might have 10 songs. They're all released up until October, and then the full album comes out in November. Now, you might be thinking, why would he release all of the songs, and then by the time the album comes out, everyone's heard all the songs? What's the benefit of that? Well, there's a couple benefits. Number one is money.
Hello, I like money.
It actually is making him a lot of money. The reason being is that every single song is getting its own day in the sun, or day in the moon, if you will. Every single song has a chance to be featured by the press, has a chance to be featured on a Spotify official playlist, which they are all getting on Spotify official playlists. If you were to drop the album of 10 songs or 12 songs on one day, there would be only like one or two featured tracks that would get featured, and some of the other songs would just kind of fall by the wayside and they just eventually pick up streams over the next decade or so. But the fact that Peter is such a huge artist and hasn't released a studio album in so many years, in this streaming climate, it makes a lot of sense for him to give each song its own dedicated month. You can rack up all of these streams and actually make a decent amount of money from not just the Brightside remix, but the Darkside remix and the Dolby Atmos version. Those are all getting individual streams. All of us are talking about these songs and listening to these songs over and over and putting them on playlists. Each track is practically getting 500,000 to 1,000,000 streams instantly. That's actually not a lot of streams if you compare it to, say, like Ed Sheeran or Taylor Swift or Billie Eilish, because their audience is all about streaming. Their audience was born in the streaming era, whereas Peter's audience is more about records and CDs. And so that's another pro for doing it this way, is that Peter can benefit from all of the streaming customers and passive listeners who are listening to playlists that might discover IO or Panopticom on a playlist, knowing that his diehard audience like us are going to buy the CD and the vinyl box set when it comes out in the end. The other massive benefit of this campaign is that Peter has been top of mind every single month since January, and the tour has just begun. So this could be just a promotional lead up to the tour. I think we'd all be really disappointed if that were the case. But we know, spoiler alert, he's been playing a lot of new songs on this tour. Regardless, if you look at the Facebook forums and Reddits and Discord, people are talking about Peter Gabriel more this year than any time in the past 10 to 20 years. That's because he's releasing new music and he's doing it slowly. So even though we kind of don't like it, we would rather just a record in our hands. The fact of the matter is he's top of mind in the press and with his fans for a really long time. And if he runs this campaign right to the fourth quarter, which I think he will, then he will have completely dominated this year. Very cool. Now, what are the cons of a slow rollout? Is it possible that his diehard fans will have heard this tracks and been disappointed and maybe not pick up the record when it comes out in the fourth quarter? Maybe. I don't think so. I think even the disappointed fans will still probably buy the record or buy the CD or go to the show. So there's not a lot of cons to this rollout. If this record is going to live on beyond Peter's years, this year of campaign will be forgotten and all that will be left would be the 10 or 12 song record. That's my hope. So there's another theory that I got from our dear friends at Tabletop Genesis, the best Genesis podcast, one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. And gosh, I wonder if those guys would ever come on this show in the near future. There was something they alluded to when they were talking about one of the singles that kind of, I think, is very, very valid. Here's the idea. If you notice all the singles that have dropped so far, none of them are just the original track, right? All of them have this little caveat of Brightside remix or Darkside mix or the Dolby Atmos version, which is the inside mix. Is there a digital version of Panopticom? Is there a digital version of Four Kinds of Horses? No, there's not. They all have this little bracket caveat. So that means potentially we have not heard the official versions of these songs, which is very interesting. Now, if we go this direction, and if the final album, whenever it comes out, has Playing for Time and IO and Panopticom without the brackets afterwards, and it's just the original version of the song, whatever that might be, is it going to be drastically different than these mixes? Some of you may hope so. Probably not. Probably maybe more stripped back, maybe more elaborate. Who knows? But from a commercial standpoint, this is genius. And this is where I think something could be really cool. A way to entice people to buy the actual album is to receive a physical version or the digital version of the album that they haven't technically heard yet, because these are mixes that have never been released. So if this all leads up to October, November, fourth quarter, a full-length record, the official record should be just the normal versions of the songs without any parentheses, without any alternative mixes. But Peter knows that his audience is skews a little old and probably rich, and it makes a ton of sense, and Mike from Tabletop mentioned this, but it makes a ton of sense for them to do a deluxe version that includes maybe a vinyl of the Brightside mixes, maybe another vinyl of the Darkside mixes, maybe a digital download of the Dolby Atmos version. Now you're looking at a 3-vinyl or a 6-vinyl set for $150. This makes a ton of sense for a legacy artist like this. I think we're going to see in November or fourth quarter, Christmas time, we're going to see a massive IO box set. Maybe the artwork will be a moon, which they're kind of using on tour a little bit. And the general album, you'll be able to get like a one disc or a two disc version of the original album that has the mixes we haven't heard yet. And then maybe a deluxe box set of the other versions. Wilco has done something similar to this with an anniversary issue of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot. So it's not uncommon for people to do a main album and then alternative mixes on different vinyl releases. And same with CD. This would be very profitable. Very exciting. I mean, we started hearing about this potential album back in the end of 2022. I mean, hearing about it in the sense that actually going to happen this time. There's possibility. Here's what you have to understand. After COVID, after that blockage in the canal, there was some serious production delays at vinyl pressing plants. And it was really, I mean, you were up to, for independent artists who were doing only a few hundred copies of records, you were up to like 10 to 12 month turnaround time for vinyl. So around the summer of 2022 is probably, spring 2022 is probably when the Peter Gabriel record was finished and mastered. And manufacturing was still pretty falling behind. It wasn't until early 2023 when things completely improved and we're back to like 2 months lead time. Now, obviously Peter's project would get to the front of the line, but maybe not necessarily. Especially if it's pretty complex. And so my guess is, would they have liked to have released this record at the end of 2022 and then do the tour in the spring as it was maybe already originally planned? Yeah, I think that would have made a lot of sense to release this record in 2022. Based on the complexity of this project and the amount of remixes and how many songs would have to get mastered, and if they do a lot of deluxe vinyl box set, then there's a very good chance that they weren't able to pull it off by the end of 2022 because of the immense production delays, the increased cost in manufacturing, probably why I don't think we saw the Genesis box set come out before Christmas as well. But a lot of those manufacturing problems have gone away. I imagine the record is ready to go. I just do not buy the fact that he's releasing a song every single month leading up to a tour without a record already being done. I mean, think about this. Do you think that he's still tinkering away with the mixes and he's like, okay, it's February 28th. I just finished that song. You can go ahead and release it now. This is way too coordinated. This is way too realized for me to think that he's just pumping out these tracks, especially as it's taken him 20 odd years to finish them. How is he being so productive now? And that's kind of the impression they're giving us is that, oh, I've got another song ready. Let's release it on the first of the month. Oh, I've got another song ready. I think these are all done. I mean, now listen, if we miss a month of July, he's like, oh, sorry, I was fell asleep. I didn't finish a track. That could throw a wrench in things a little bit, but I think we're going to keep on seeing these songs because it's been so well executed so far. In conclusion, if this entire campaign that started in January, led up to the tour, and hopefully continues on through the summer into the fall, into this giant Christmas season package that we buy the CDs, we buy the vinyl, we buy the deluxe, we've got the t-shirt from the tour, the year of Peter Gabriel. If this all leads up to something big, then bravo. Bravo. What an incredible campaign. We don't love the long rollouts as diehard music fans, but it is the best decision from a financial standpoint, from a promotional standpoint, with the press, with streaming platforms. It is the smartest move for Peter. If this doesn't lead into anything with all of these singles and the branding of the tour and the tour itself, oh my gosh, what a massively missed opportunity. This will be a complete disaster. And it's not without precedent. In fact, there's an indie rock artist by the name of Tame Impala. Many years ago, just before COVID, he had this highly anticipated record that was about to come out. And he dropped a couple singles in the winter. And then he had a major music festival do, and he was in Saturday Night Live. And everyone was like excited and ready for him to drop a record. And then he went back in the studio to make more tweaks, and it was delayed by a year. And he missed out on this massive like headlining festival and Saturday Night Live, and these lead-up singles. So it's not without precedent for an artist to get precious with their material and be like, you know what, I want to go back in the studio and tinker. And we know Peter's been doing that for a couple decades. I'm curious. First of all, this is our first Peter Gabriel episode on this show. If you're new to the channel, welcome, and please subscribe for a lot of Genesis and, you know, mostly Phil Collins stuff, but some Peter Gabriel stuff. And let me know what you think. I'm curious what you think is going to happen. What's your theory? Am I off base here? I don't know. I mean, we're recording this in May. I think we'll see some sort of announcement in September in that like back to school, New Year season. I think we'll see a release come out in fourth quarter. I think he's going to milk this IO project for the Christmas season. I know I'm going to have somebody buy me the vinyl copy and put it under the Christmas tree. So that's my theory. Let me know what you think. Thanks for watching, and please subscribe. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. If you want to find out more about the show, go to everythingphilcollins.com. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe and please leave a review of the show. That really helps.